Hello, friends, and welcome to the Leadership Deep Dive podcast. I'm Margaret Katz-Kann, and I'm here with my friend and partner and co-worker, David Landuli. Hey, David.
Hey, Margaret, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you. So
You
we're
had a conversation with your inner creative genius recently.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a good chat that we had for sure.
Yeah, that was cool. If you guys want to read about that, go over to LinkedIn and see what Margaret's creative inner genius had to say.
I'm a big fan of I got an assignment to write a letter, and I do think sometimes when we ask some part of us a question and we can put it in like that, like my inner writer wrote a letter back to me, and it, I don't know where it comes from, but it certainly contains all kinds of wisdom. It's a great way for me to get into some flow, some creative flow.
I mean, for some folks, including me, it's just listening to that still small voice in meditation. For you, it comes through as writing. Sometimes it comes through in my morning pages, but generally not. That's not how it shows up for me. It shows up as a still small voice of intuition. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about
No,
today.
I know, but I bet I can segue. Ready? Dear David's heart, tell me about your oh shit moment this week and last week. How are you doing with that?
Well, for the audience, my wife Lillian, who I've spoken about here on the show many times, has had her fair shares of rides on the merry-go-round with cancer over the years. She's gone round and round on that merry-go-round several times, and got a diagnosis about 2 weeks ago with a melanoma on her cheek. So we were, you get a little bit older, you start getting your body scan. I do it, and then stuff starts showing up, and oh, we're going to scrape this off, and we're going to scrape that off. And, this happens to me too. And, she had one of those last year. It was a basal cell. It was like precancerous. Like, oh, okay, that's fine. This year, melanoma, which like that, when you hear that word, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's not a
Yeah.
word that
Oh
anybody
shit. Because it's
wants to
aggressive. Those
hear.
things are aggressive and they can spread quickly. And, Lillian lost her sister to colon cancer, and, her other sister is just recovering from breast cancer. And so, anyway, for me, it was a gut punch. Like, oh man, this is serious.
I feel like we chose this topic maybe to talk about compassion, maybe to talk about leadership, how to care for yourself through these moments, how to still function in your life when you have a big worry or a big weight in your heart of worry.
Well, one of the things that helped me is I have been, and some of you who may follow my work on LinkedIn may have seen some posts I've been doing about a coaching program for leaders on a spiritual path. And one of the things we may discuss if you come into that program is what's your prayer life like, if you have any at all. And even if it's something like what Margaret does, which asks her inner creative genius to give her some guidance, that would be a form of prayer life, in my estimation and my understanding now of prayer. So I got just grounded and got into a conversation with the infinite intelligence to ask for help. So that's another thing from leadership, right? Asking for help, but you don't have to just, this is something that Margaret and I were trained in our leadership training that we went through together, albeit at different times, is this idea leaders ask for help. Well, guess what? Leaders can ask for help from the infinite intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. As well as from community and from friends.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm specifically, I did, ask for some prayer help from
And
a community also,
what
just
is
like
that?
would you pray, for Lillian? Yeah.
Yeah. And when you sit in this space, David, what becomes available to you?
Well, prior to shifting to prayer, some might call it even, spiritual mind treatment. That's another way you could describe this. But there was certainly worry on my part. And the shift, what becomes available is hope. And in order to have hope, you have to believe that your prayer will have some benefit.
Yeah.
So that's the part that, if you have a saboteur, one of my saboteurs for a long time was I call it the doubter. It lives in the land of the judge, So if you doubt whether your conversation, your contemplation, your demonstration through writing, if you start to doubt whether that will have any positive effect, then you will have no hope whatsoever.
Yeah,
Yeah. But
absolutely. What did you?
I've had a shift around that, and the other thing, of course, from our positive intelligence program that helps is like asking, what's the gift? What's the opportunity here?
Yeah.
Or another way of saying that is, how is this for me? How is this experience for me, as opposed to, struggling against it?
Yeah. I
Anyway.
feel like so I'm taking, as I've mentioned, it's still going, it goes for months and months, but a course in somatic coaching, how to really use our awareness of our body to just to bolster our learning and to connect, to connect to a coaching journey. And I had a session or a couple sessions earlier this month. In which, and this is sort of the science of what you're talking about, David, which is we have three, I'm sure we have more, but there are sort of three spaces in our nervous system. And in one is where hope is possible, it's where looking for the gifts are possible. But when we get bad news, we immediately go into a different part of our nervous system connected to a different part of our brain, which is, first there's a place where we have a reaction where the adrenaline, the gut punch, that feeling of the gut punch and the adrenaline and the cortisol and everything's kind of going crazy. That's sort of part two of your nervous system. And then part three is where you just get overwhelmed and you kind of give up and you want to climb under the bed and nothing is possible there either. And the work as humans is to figure out just how to re-regulate our nervous systems to get back into a space where hope is possible. And there are so many tools, and prayer, whoever you're praying to, is actually a giant tool, right? To reconnect your heart and your spirit with something that feels outside of yourself. There are a lot of somatic tools, PQ reps, all of those kinds of things. But this was just, it's like another chapter that goes behind PQ with really the neuroscience and the nervous system
Right.
functions. But we were talking
Yeah.
first you get the gut punch and there is nothing possible there, right? You're just You can't catch your breath. And so you do have to re-regulate back
Oh, well, you don't have to, but you can choose
well.
to
Let
if you
me put it
have.
differently. You cannot ask for help. You cannot pray, right? Like if while you are still in that deep fight or flight gut punch space in your body, that you are there until you re-regulate. Not you there.
Or it could just be shock. Like, in other words, it's unexpected. Whether you receive a diagnosis yourself for some
Right.
difficult health issue, or a loved one receives
Yeah.
a
Anything
diagnosis.
that our bodies perceive as danger, right? And the fear of illness is 100% a danger, right?
Yeah, it is. And yet, here's the paradox of this is that we're all going to experience some form of this sooner or later. And so how we deal with it emotionally specifically is important, I believe. And the sooner we have some tools like what you're talking about, and or what I'm talking about, whether it be prayer or breathing or other forms of grounding, the sooner we ad adopt some of those practices, the more equipped we are to deal with the inevitability of us receiving a diagnosis, or a loved one receiving a diagnosis that says you might die. That's the threat, right? That's the threat response.
I'm trying to think back, maybe 2 years or so before my dad ultimately passed away. He called a family Zoom meeting, and it became clear during that context of the meeting that he had some dementia. I mean, I think we had all suspected, but during that meeting, he just went off on this agenda of some fantasy investment. I mean, it was really unnerving, and it was that same feeling of gut punch. And I guess, there wasn't a doctor there, but it was pretty easy to diagnose, like, oh, these chapters between now and his final chapter are gonna look a different way from they from you know from how they might otherwise have looked. And I'm just was trying to
I
think
think,
sort of an equivalent moment for me.
I know that helped shift your perspective based on the conversation. Maybe, I'll just check in, but this is my recollection that that moment helped shift your perspective of your relationship with your father.
I'm gonna say it did. I think there comes this moment where, the game was the game, and there's no more, right? There, like at the point at which somebody gets a diagnosis of dementia, or you can diagnose them because you're observing them act with dementia. You have made all the change and progress in that relationship that is possible to make. And all that's left to do is just to love this person and their version, right? There's no more deep conversations, or there's no more hoping for an apology or a redo. It's like, choom, a big, like, finished. So that was the impact for me of that.
I certainly recall your conversations about your father before and after, and certainly the conversations after were coming from a much more accepting and loving perspective than before. And there's a gift right there. So there can be the gift of even if a relationship is, and my relationship with Lillian is not difficult, but the impact was different in that I was like, oh shit, like this beautiful, loving relationship might come to an end. So that's different than, oh, this, like with your father, like this relationship is going to come to an end, and despite all the ups and downs of the past, you have an opportunity to still frame it and do something about it in a different way.
Yeah, David, I'm really struck by, your frankness. I mean, about being able to say these things out loud, right? Like that a relationship might come to an end. And I know that you've studied a lot of stoicism and that you've had a stake around, not pretending that death doesn't exist. Can you just
Yeah.
share a little bit more? I know that's different
Well,
for many people, but fascinating.
thank you. I'm laughing because it's in
Because
the
what else are you gonna do, right?
well, exactly, like in our modern culture, unfortunately, so you say Stoicism, Buddhism, Hebrew, the Old Testament, anywhere you look in any spiritual tradition, we could set aside even the spiritual sages and mystics, whoever wrote anything down or their students wrote stuff down, counseled us to contemplate our own death and that of our loved ones. Certainly the Stoics would say, and Marcus Aurelius did say, to actually do that contemplation so that when the time comes, you're ready.
Yeah.
Now,
Sorry, no, so
without any,
Lillian's
yeah.
path has not been determined at all at this point in time. There's only been a, right,
Correct.
like a yikes
Right.
and a procedure,
Yeah,
and
we still don't know. We're
there is
still
no
waiting.
path. So, but
Right.
I just want to put that context there because you are nonetheless contemplating, right, what this could mean. That doesn't mean it will mean that, but that there's
Right.
something important about holding that scenario. Question mark
Yeah.
for you.
Well, I think the skill comes in being able to, as I'm reflecting back on to the moment when we got the diagnosis, to not go down the worry hole. I mean, you can't, right? We talked about this, I think, before we got on, because that can lead you down that nervous system of I forget, which one you would say that would take you down, but that could take you either the hide under the covers version, or the fight or flight version, right? As opposed to the more peaceful version of ourselves that can cope,
Right.
that'd be a good word, cope with this situation in a loving, caring way, and still, I thought to myself, like, whoa, I just know I would be devastated. So that thought, of course, did come up. And I think thoughts like that are helpful in grounding us in the love that we have for someone else. Or in the case of your own diagnosis, it might ground you in the love that you have for yourself and whatever
Yeah.
time you have left.
Yeah.
So,
You have
anyway,
at this moment
it's
still
really
very,
complicated.
it is complicated. And I'm pretty sensitive. And I just, for those of you who are listening and maybe aren't, but David is he is vibrating with exuding. I don't know exactly what the right word is, but there's sadness and there's anxiety and there's a it's like an unsanded edge right now of you.
For
It's a
sure.
yeah, I
Yeah.
just feel that so
Yeah.
strongly in this moment. And this is hard, and yet, right, the sun comes up and you have clients and you have things. So right, you have to You don't have to. You could shut down, you could cancel your life until further notice and just, and that is always a choice, right? To hunker down and you're choosing something a little bit different to talk about it. Right?
There's a, a saying. A saying that I think is attributed to Saint Ignatius in the Catholic tradition that goes something like this. It, the attribution may or not be correct, but it's something like, "Pray as if everything is in God's hands, but act as if everything's in your hands." So, like, do what you can, and then turn the rest over to God or to a higher power or things that are outside of your control are not worth going down the worry rabbit hole, in my opinion. I've seen people do this. People in my own family, and it can be debilitating. So how can you be loving and kind and caring and it while you're just worrying, worrying, worrying? It, like, those two things are very hard to do at the same time. So I don't think the worrying part is going to change anything in this scenario, but certainly I am worried.
Yeah, of course. So it's almost like how do you let that part the part of David that's worrying, right? The worried David part, how do you let it exist because you can't stomp him out and then yet not, give him all the oxygen that's in you?
That's a good question. Well, the from our own training in coach training, it's to allow it to be there, name it, allow it to be there, and let it run through you as opposed to getting stuck in you. So I had to do that last week. I canceled some things
Yeah.
because I couldn't function last week in because I was just overwhelmed with the worry, if you might say, or just, I would say, more of a sadness of the loss that I would experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And allowing myself to feel that without pushing it
Right.
aside, pushing it down. Like, yeah, I'm going to cancel some of my life particles to deal with this.
Yeah. I just want to offer a word which is saturated, right? Like when those emotions get so big inside of us that we are saturated by them, that seems like a great time to make some cancellations, and just hunker down and tend to ourselves, not try to function through that, and trust that once you tend to it, as all saturated things do, the stuff will ooze back out again, and you'll catch your breath again and
Yeah, I'm also noticing, like, I did notice that having been through, having been present for Lillering, jumping on this merry-go-round a few times in our lives, that our love has, so, and these happened at different stages. I don't know, we're going on, I think we've known each other for 31 years now, if I'm not, I'm mistaken. And I wasn't around for her first diagnosis, which was in high school. But I've been around for every other one, and this one hit me. I noticed that this hit me so hard, and I was like, why is this hitting me so hard? And it's because my love for her has deepened to such a depth that it would be like somebody ripping out my heart. That's what it would feel like, you know. So anyway, yeah.
And you get to give yourself permission to,
Yeah.
to be with the potential loss.
But that's the gift, you know. The gift is like, how often do we get to really reflect upon how much we love somebody? You know? So that is a gift. I'm sorry to say, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but I will say that I think we bounce around kangaroos hopping through life.
That's what we
One
do.
of Margaret's favorite sayings, you know, we just kind of hop through life, but this is a time to pause the hopping, you know. Yeah. So anyway,
We
I
usually.
know that a lot of other people have been inspired and you know, have seen gifts in very difficult circumstances in their own lives or in lives of people they love. And so I don't know that I'm saying anything new here, but it's new for me.
Absolutely. We usually try to close our podcast by offering something for our audience to do, and I feel like in this instance, maybe we just are going to ask people to do your version of prayer for somebody
Yeah.
in your life who needs it. And if you can't think of
Yes.
anything, I know David and Lillian would love for you to send some prayer love their way.
Absolutely. That's where I was going to go with it, Margaret. So,
There you go.
if there's someone in your life that's going through a difficult time, I just spoke to a friend and colleague yesterday who's you know, on the precipice of a divorce. It could be something like that. Could be a health issue. Could be anything. Financial. Take a moment. If you don't have any kind of prayer life, it can just be saying like, this prayer is for so and so. May he or she be happy and well.
Another version is just just put your hands over your heart and allow yourself to feel saturated with love and care and concern. And that is
Yeah.
a form of prayer.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Allowing
But
to bubble up.
don't just hop past it. Yeah, that's the invitation is you know, there's someone in your life who could use a good word from you today. So don't hop past it.
And sending love
All
to
right.
Lillian, and we will see you all next time.
See you next time.